At Pew Talk Podcast, we know that faith starts in the home. We also know that it can be difficult to take what we hear on Sunday and live it out in our homes the rest of the week. That's because information alone doesn't lead to growth and change. But information that's reflected on and put into practice is much more likely to lead to growth and change. Join us as we hear God's word, reflect on it, and give practical starting points to help you live out your faith in your family and in your community.
Yeah!
Yes! This is Admiral Akbar. I am talking from space. It's a trap.
Kick the tires and the tires.
What up? It's 6 o'clock.
New time.
New time. New bat time. Same bat channel.
Yeah. Same bat channel. Yeah. New bat time.
So, what's up? Yes, and to answer your question,
I touched it. Hey, my mom doesn't like it when the microphone is like up here and she goes, I can't see your face.
I want to see your beautiful face.
I had to move it down.
Yes, I did say Admiral Akbar. We got into a conversation in my office because I was like, by your command. And both my staff members were like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm talking like Admiral Akbar saying stuff from Battlestar Galactica. Nope. And they're like,
they said
they had no idea what I was talking about.
I think you mean Star Wars.
Yeah, but I did Admiral Akbar saying things from Battlestar Galactica.
Gotcha.
By your command.
See, now I would not.
I wouldn't.
I'm a Star Wars. I get that. Akbar, but I would not have gotten the Battlestar Galactica.
The Cylons when they were like, by your command.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Cylons.
All right. If you guys have remembered the original Battlestar, not the remake when they made it, which was also good, but it didn't say by your command, which was the only part that made me cry a little bit. Mm-hmm. Anyways, on my nerdiness, how's everyone else doing?
Good.
How's your leg?
Hey, people.
She's moving again.
She's moving.
I don't know what to tell you. I'm a hot mess. No, but everything is fantastic. And
everything's fantastic other than the parts of you that aren't so fantastic.
But, you know, they're worse things.
Yeah.
You know, I look at it that way. There are worse things in life than a bum and an ankle.
A bum and an ankle.
Does it make the rest of the body work harder when some parts of the body aren't working to their full capacity.
You should have saved that for when we transition to the actual talk.
I know, but I couldn't like come back in 20 minutes or 5 minutes and ask that question.
So Lacey.
I have been scooting around on a knee scooter for a week now. And yesterday we had the back to school bash.
Yes.
And I was at school a lot.
Yes.
And then I got home and I couldn't even like scoop myself with my right leg through the carpet. And Jeff's just like, are you all right? That's my husband. And I'm like, I'm really tired. And he just looks at me and he goes, I had my Yeti with me and it was empty. He goes, well, I'll get you some more water. And I'm like, well, that would be great. Cause I said, I just can't push myself.
I can't get there.
And this morning I woke up and it was so sore. And then I realized I'm going to have one really lean Herculean like right leg and one flabby.
You said Herculean?
Herculean like, yes.
Herculean.
Yeah. There you go.
Is that a real word?
I don't know. I made it up. Oh, yeah. It is a real word. See?
If you say it right.
Like Hercules. Yeah. How do you say it?
Hercules.
That's what I think of.
Name that movie.
I know that movie.
I know that reference.
Yep.
Name that movie.
So anyways, and then one loose muscled flabby left leg. So I told Cassidy today that her and Robert will have to help me strengthen my left leg to make it match my right leg eventually.
You mean Robert from CrossFit Kohana?
Yes, I do.
Not sponsored.
But name drop right there.
But Gerber and I both go there.
Yep.
And tomorrow we did leg day, I think, on Monday. So hopefully we don't do that again tomorrow.
Can you just do like left leg day?
I'm sure that Robert will come out. It's called pistol squats.
Yep. Those are fun, let me tell you.
I currently can't squat right now, so.
Well, no. But like not to sit down. You just
get to lift
one leg up and then
go whoop
and squat with one leg. It's not exactly as easy as it sounds.
I have a bruised elbow.
It's actually not at all easy.
It's gonna hurt.
Anyways. Robert's behind it. Of course, it's not going to be easy.
How are you, gentlemen?
Well, I want to ask: is there anything new, Casey?
Well, school starts tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
yeah. So, that's new.
Mm-hmm. That must be the thing I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's 100%. The other maybe minor thing that Paul might be referencing is I did officially accept the call to be the director of Christian education at Trinity.
So. Oh, good. I'm glad you were ready with that button there. Well done, Paul.
Maybe you wanted this one, Gerber.
No, I didn't.
You wanted this one.
At all. Yep.
No, we're excited. This is what I heard at Sunday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. People are excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Either that or they were going... No, that's not what.
No, they're probably going, come on, hurry up.
You know.
If we clap
faster.
Go. So how do you feel about that?
I'm excited.
He's like, I hate it.
I keep texting him like, all right, now here's other assignments as, or other duties as assigned. Here we go.
You said I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Now Gerbs is your boss.
Mm-hmm. Who was I working for part-time before this?
I guess me. But I didn't have as full of reign.
The church council. The church council. Mm-hmm. Council now is fully on him. Mm-hmm. Now.
Game on.
Let's go.
My toes are going numb. This is too tight. I can't feel them.
So if your toes go numb, my toes go numb during this podcast half the time.
Just unvelcro your boot.
Just unvelcro. I know.
Unvelcro your boot. So
it's too tight.
It's fine.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Paul doesn't like the noises.
No, as long as you're not doing
the cool whip. Let's talk about Jesus. Did Jesus' toes ever go numb?
I'm sure. You know, he fell asleep in a boat. Maybe he slept on it wrong when he woke up and went, he didn't mean to actually stop the storm. He just went, ow, my leg! And the storm stopped because he said that. No. I'm sure that's what it said.
Very theological right there.
I doubt that. But he did fall asleep on a boat and then he did calm the storm. So we got the major outline of the story right there.
He didn't realize it was because his toes fell asleep.
Yeah,
that's what's happening here.
Yeah, and maybe that's why the disciples were all like,
so like
maybe the disciples weren't actually cowering in fear. They were actually going, man, my butt's falling asleep. How do I get up?
And maybe when Jesus said, be still, he was talking like it felt like because his toes were asleep, it felt like they were like tingly. And so he said, be still.
I'm sure that's accurate.
It just, the stillness spread past his toes into the water.
I'm sure that's accurate. Yeah, you there out in podcast land, can you please put in your comment the Bible verse where the toes become tingly?
I'll give you a hint. It's in Mark. Because I have it on a sweatshirt.
Jesus takes naps.
Yep.
Be like Jesus.
Be like Jesus.
All right. Eventually, we'll be done with the Velcro. Oh, now we get it.
Stuck.
Oh, that has to hurt.
Okay.
All right.
Woo. Now, I'm going to film us putting it back on.
Podcast bonus content. Yeah.
So here, let me try this question again. Lacey, what's it like when part of your body is not working properly
and
doing what it should be doing? What does it force everything else to do?
Work harder.
Everything else to work harder? Yeah, and does it cause like pain?
Misery.
If only Jesus had something to say about that. Or Paul, I guess. I should say Paul.
Not me, though.
St. Paul.
I did tell Paul Paquette that every time I type, because I type my sermons in Google Docs, and every time I type Paul and then I hit spacebar, it wants to fill in Paquette. So if I ever slip up and preach about what Paul Paquette wrote to the Ephesians, I blame Google Docs.
Yeah.
Or maybe I really wrote something.
Yes.
I think that would be kind of funny.
Yeah,
nobody would find that funny.
I had a great joke on Sunday, and it was crickets.
This is a dad joke.
Jeff
got it. Yeah, so we were talking about the difference in nutrition and training for swimmers and divers, because we were going to get into the nutrition and training regimen that the body of Christ has. And so I said, let's dive into Ephesians, and it was like crickets. I mean, I really could have used your the crickets. There it is. It's one of those buttons.
Yeah. Stop.
just keeps going. It was that bad.
Actually, I think you needed that one.
Yeah, that would work too.
I got the joke.
Yeah.
I just smiled.
Anyways, so body not working well.
My body's not working. And neither is my microphone.
Well, it's because you keep on pushing on it.
It's never happened before.
It's new.
It's a new problem. So,
anyways,
as we
back to the old problems,
consider those things, how we might work together in unity, how we might nutritionalize the body of Christ and train the body of Christ. Casey, not Stacy, my wife, by the way, you might not know this. Actually, you would notice because the first thing you'd got is like, oh, where's Stacy? Because that's what I do when I don't see her. She is, tomorrow school starts
really?
At the Trinity, and Our kids, when transition's coming, tend to get a little
naughty.
No, they get anxious about it. They kind of start to work themselves up a little bit. So we decided that tonight would be a great night to just be home with mom, to have a nice relaxing night, get ready for bed early, and get ready to head to school in the morning. Okay. So Casey, since it's not Stacy, it's Casey, and if it wasn't gonna be Casey, we know it would have been Lacey. But Casey's gonna read Ephesians 4 verses 11 through 16.
And God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love.
All right, so here we get some wonderful Paul sentences that seem to go on in like random directions, and you got to try and put them all together and figure out like what was that sentence supposed to say with all the other clauses in there. But what did you guys get from that as you were reading, as you were hearing? Where did your mind go from that section of scripture?
The big things that stuck out to me were the list of prophets, evangelists, shepherds, teachers to be there to help equip the saints, which is, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But the big thing that, because of that, to also help against, defend against, when we find the actual word,
the waves,
the toss and fro from the waves of carrying about of every wind of doctrine and human cunning of craftiness and deceitful schemes. To me, it was like, I like that.
Yeah.
I do too.
So that's what I focused in on.
Okay. So let's talk about that. Where do you see, whether it's maybe in your life, you see the tendency towards that, or where do you see the, when that happens, being tossed about to and fro by the waves and carried around, whether it's your life and that tendency to that, or where do you see it out in culture of all that?
I think the better question is, where don't you see it?
Yeah, that's gonna be a question, whether or not how much do I want to get myself in trouble? But
are any of you thinking or looking at it where that could go two different ways? If you look at deceitful schemes, it could be something that would take you away from God, or it could be something that, I should take that back. It should be deceitful, something that's lying, cheating, stealing, bad. Or is it, I could go work at a youth group thing today and help serve my community, mm-hmm. or I could sit here with this Ben and Jerry's and watch Netflix.
Well,
the DCE doesn't like the second option.
I know, yeah. but that's not. If you kind of, I guess, to me, mm-hmm. when I read that, I'm like, what do you, mm-hmm. which part of it? Do you mean like the evil part of it? Or do you mean like what would take me away from helping out in the bigger picture?
Well, I think what he's really talking about, and you correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm probably wrong, is the every wind of
doctrine.
Of doctrine, to me, is our human way of looking at it and going, this is what I think. This is the way I interpret the scriptures.
Yep.
So therefore,
it is the old fashioned way of saying, live your truth.
Yeah. I think that's really what I'm, yeah, live your truth is the wind of doctrine. Because to me, it is flick of the wind. When the wind changes, suddenly the doctrine changes. And since we believe that the word of God is truth, then when the wind changes, that truth doesn't change. So therefore, how, you know, basically when you start seeing, I mean, especially like maybe in the 90s and the 80s, there's all kinds of different things just flying out there.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean. Oh, yeah. There was, I mean, we even, every generation. That was kind of those times where I think, if I'm getting my timing right, more of the charismatic movement of just feel the Spirit move in you, and then you're, however the Spirit leads you, that's the way that you should go. Now, can the Spirit lead? Yes, absolutely. But can the devil make himself seem a whole lot like the Spirit and entice you with things that you want to do, but now, this is the Spirit telling me to do this? Yes.
Yeah. And as for the deceitfulness, the human cunning, I think that's where you're talking about with the, there is an intent to change doctrine in view of trying to turn away or turn our face away from God. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So that's intentionally trying to change doctrine by saying something to force people to go, oh, that makes sense. Let me go that way. I think you get a lot of that in the happy gospel places.
Yeah. That would be, as Lutherans, we would call that the theology of glory rather than the theology of the cross. Theology of glory, basically Jesus wants you to be happy. He wants sunshine and cupcakes for you.
Yeah.
Theology of the cross means life might suck, but it'll suck with Jesus. And in the end, life might suck, but Jesus will be there with you in the suck.
Yeah, there you go.
Suck less.
Well, no, it won't suck less. It'll actually, Jesus says, in this world, people will hate you. You'll have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So it's not like Jesus makes things better as we want to see them in this world. Does Jesus make things better? Absolutely. But just because I love Jesus doesn't mean that water's not going to come in my basement when it rains a lot.
Right.
Just because I love Jesus doesn't mean that people aren't going to, you know, spit in my face. Actually, they're more likely to spit in my face because I love Jesus. Those sorts of things.
On the theology of glory is the idea also that if you follow God's ways, he will keep blessing you with great things.
Yeah.
So if you got canned from your job, then obviously you're not pleasing God somehow, and he's trying to, you know, smack you upside the head a bit and get your attention.
Or fall off a bench.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, Jesus was trying to tell you something very specific there.
I think that was gravity, but...
Jesus used gravity.
Means of grace. Yeah. Gravity.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I could see how there is in the winds of change, because to me, even today in political structures, because of how everything is politicized, that winds of change seems to be evident flowing constantly. Mm-hmm. And then you have even within that winds of change, there are people who are using that winds of change to be deceitful
within it.
And so what Paul's trying to say here is that there are numerous people within the church that will help the saints teach the flock correctly.
Yep.
Is that what he's trying to say?
Yes. The struggle with this is, though, you've also got to be careful because there are numerous people inside the church that teach the winds of
change.
Doo-doo-doo.
I wish I could whistle.
You can't whistle.
Can you do the winds of change whistle, please?
I don't think I...
Yours is much less breathy. Well done.
I'm so glad we're doing this. Anyways.
Sorry, I just find that baffling. That's all.
Because you can't whistle, God is punishing you.
Yeah. By falling off a bench.
It's very painful considering.
Well, in this allegory, because you fell off a bench and you can whistle, therefore God hates whistlers. Deceitful evil.
Okay, then.
Twist it that way and look at it that way
This is what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Just kind of making things up as
this
we go.
This is how the world works, sadly. Yeah. Very sadly. And it's obvious, confusing.
And it's honestly often, almost all the time, what's best for me.
Well, for you personally?
No, for
yourself.
The individual. What's best for that individual? That's my truth. Mm-hmm. That's how God would want me to be happy. No, sorry, mm-hmm. He doesn't. He does.
It's not his top priority.
But he wants you to be filled with, he wants you to have joy, and he wants you to have life, but
with him.
In him,
yeah.
Yes.
So therefore,
make you happy. Well, I guess this is where I struggle.
Happy is an emotion. That is
joy. An emotion.
Joy is it is not. Happy comes and goes based on the winds of change.
Right.
Joy does not. There's joy. You can have joy in sorrow. Because you know that ultimately Jesus will return to raise your family member up from the grave.
Yeah.
You can't be happy in sorrow.
No,
so the song "Happy Happy Joy Joy Happy Happy Joy."
They're different things. So it's not like you're just saying happy, 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 happy.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy.
Red and Stimpy.
Yeah, I know.
But I think also we get caught up in this idea that the lie that God wants us to be happy. The fact that God does care about this life, but God also knows that this world, because of sin and what's been brought into it by Satan, is doomed. Like, what we look to as Christians is eternity. And God cares about our happiness in eternity because there's only one of two places you're going, and one of them ain't happy. So relatively, in the time span of eternity, a relatively relatively short bit of unhappiness for either character growth or just because this world sucks is minuscule in God's eyes compared to eternal joy and happiness.
I like it when Casey uses words that I would use on common, normal conversation.
Apparently, I don't use common words very often.
No, you don't say suck very often, so when you do, it just catches me off guard.
I don't say suck in theological
conversations. Yeah, this is true. But if I would just throw it out there, people would be like, yeah, she's just talking. But it's like if my grandma curses, then the whole tone just changes because it's like, whoa, I didn't.
Okay, so what is...
Sorry.
Just because... is there a definitional difference between apostles, shepherds, prophets, evangelists, and teachers?
Yes.
Because when I think of those things, I kind of feel like they're all kind of intertwined together.
We tend to intertwine them together. Prophets speak for God. Like prophets are people who speak for God. Shepherds are what we would consider pastors. Under shepherd is the, you know, Jesus is the good shepherd. We are the under shepherds. We help shepherd God's flock. Apostles, evangelists, those, I'm trying to remember. I'm bad with these. There are differences in them, but they're slight. And I don't know if we, in our day today, we wouldn't necessarily recognize the difference. Like the apostles, we had the 12 apostles, those that Jesus kind of specifically worked with. Prophets from the Old Testament, those were people who God spoke through. Thus saith the Lord. And evangelists are people who go out and tell the good news of Jesus. I mean, that's the general terminology.
And then there's teachers.
Teachers are actually teach the faith, teach the nuts and bolts. Shepherds who kind of walk alongside with people, guiding them in the right direction.
And then there's another noun in there called the saints. And so
yes, the saints are not all the people who are good. You know, so often when we think saints, we think like, oh, they're so saintly, they're really, 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 really good. But a saint is just someone who has been given faith.
So would that be the congregation?
Yes. Yeah. That is the body of Christ. That is God. All of God's people are the saints.
Okay. Side note: is Tara going to yell at me because I used that as a noun? Did I do that right?
What? I don't know.
I didn't even notice.
If you used it incorrectly, she might say something.
Use what as a noun?
I just said there's another noun in there called the saints, and I don't know if that's like an adjective
The saints. Yeah, saints is a noun.
So you're good.
Just making sure, Tara. Right. I don't want to be mad. I haven't gone through language arts and many, many moons.
Yeah, no, saints. The saints. And so there are saints who are here on this earth, and there are saints who have gone before us. So saints really is the entire collection from across time and space of God's people. But also, you know, as Paul writes, and let's see if he does it. I'm trying to remember in Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus, to God's people in Ephesus.
Can you say that again?
So like Paul, Ephesians 1:1, uh-huh. As he's writing the greeting, he said, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, I'm writing this, that's assumed in there, to the saints who are in Ephesus.
Okay, so now...
to the church, to God's people.
So now that implies, and I know I'm going off of, that implies that now there is this subsect of people who are saints, apostles, teachers, whatever, and then everyone else.
No. Saints are everyone that is...
So I'm trying to make sure that we're encompassing that saints are also the apostles,
yes,
prophets.
Yes.
But so, then there are people who are...
Of the saints, there are some apostles and there are some prophets and there are some evangelists and there are some pastors and teachers.
Would that lead into the spiritual gifts that he talks about later?
Yes. These are some categories of spiritual gifts. Prophecy, shepherding or pastor, teaching.
Because he talks about govern, you know, there are people who can govern and there's people who can teach and there's people who can...
Yeah.
But I'm assuming that they kind of go hand in hand. And that really what it comes down to, regardless of the spiritual gifts, it's all equipping the body to be able to spread God's word, regardless of what your gifts are.
Yes, yes.
So therefore, we all have spiritual gifts of some kind. So
yes.
Therefore, we can all be prophets, all be apostles of some kind, depending on what your gift is. I'm not saying...
Yeah, not in the, like, we shouldn't all be pastors.
No, I understand that.
But
yes.
But you should do some pastoring.
And we can all teach, and we can all...
Yes.
Because of the gifts that are given. Now,
some of us will be better about it.
On certain aspects.
Yes. Some of us will be called to do different things more specifically. But we really all have, we encompass all of them at some point. Like, I can't just say, you know what, empathy, and we don't do spiritual gifts, tests, inventories very often, so I'm bad at remembering them, but like, empathy is, I'm sure, probably something along the lines of one of them. I can't just say, you know what, I don't have empathy, sucks to be you. I just can't say, because I don't have empathy, I don't need to care about the Samaritan laying on the side of the road.
That's not a spiritual gift that I got, so therefore I must keep on walking.
Yeah, I'll wait for somebody else to come along. No, that's not how that works.
My spiritual gifts inventory test said I'm not this.
That's like, this is where, these are
is
the
that
gifts.
Exactly what it sounds like, too.
Yeah.
If you look at that, it's.
I really think that's my test to say that, so I'm going to.
I'm picturing like Sheldon Cooper from The Big Bang Theory.
Yes,
like,
I was going to say, somebody that's very analytical would look at that and go, that is not my gift. So therefore, this person that is abandoned on the side of the road that looks like they need help, I don't have empathy, so I'm just going to keep on driving. Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. Don't do that. But at the same time, there are people who are better at things, and it's okay to let them take the lead in those things. So like, for example, I am trained in CPR and first aid because I had to get that training a couple weeks ago.
Me too.
That doesn't mean that when the EMT gets there and I'm like, nope, sorry, have you seen my Red Cross card? Please stay away. No, obviously I'm going to be like, yes, please. I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm just helping to keep this person alive until someone
like you gets here.
So now that you're here, please continue with the compressions.
So if somebody's having a spiritual crisis, so let's just say that, even though I'm not trained as a pastor, there is a chance for me to be able to, keep
them alive.
To be able to get them to an individual who has that skill or gift.
Yeah.
That's the EMT of pastoral knowledge.
Good job, Paul.
What am I talking about?
But that makes sense.
Well, in American society, the idea is very individualistic. Like, we want some credit in what we do. But the idea of the body is that we're not working for our personal goals. We're working for what Christ has called us to. So the idea that I'm not a pastor, but I can help someone in that, I can help someone in that second before a pastor could probably help them more in their spiritual guidance. Like, that doesn't belittle what I just did, because if I wasn't that bridge to connect that, they might not have gotten, to the point where they could see a pastor in the first place.
Yep. Well, and even in that, you could talk to a pastor all day, but if they're talking over your head because they're talking pastoral nonsense.
Let's go Greek, baby.
Yeah. There could be somewhere in there, there could be a teacher that goes, this is what he's really saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, or whatever.
Yep.
And get to a point that they're like, oh, I get it now. And therefore, when they do listen to that pastor later, they're like, I get that.
So,
So it does take a community,
a body.
We're going to use the word body.
There you go.
Because that's what we're.
Yeah. But so like, yes. But for a lot of people also, kind of that first connection isn't going to come through a pastor. It's going to come through a neighbor, somebody that just a coworker or a friend or somebody like that. That's where that first connection is going to come. That's how, and while it's good to say, hey, why don't you come to church with me? So you can hear my pastor, but it's more important to say, hey, we've talked about this for a few times. What questions do you have about Jesus? And maybe they ask a question, you go, you know what? That's a good question. Let's go together and ask our pastor.
Yeah. And even a couple of weeks ago, we were talking to Ed, he was talking about when we're doing our jobs, like say mowing the lawn, and the neighbor's like, why do you mow your lawn this well? And you can say, opens that door, but then be able to say, hey, by the way, then because you've built that relationship.
Talk about Jesus.
And then we can say, hey, you know what? We should talk to my pastor or something that has a little bit more CPR training.
Spiritually licensed.
I don't know. But I mean, I've met, on top of that, me being cynical as I am, I've met a number of people who have never been trained as pastors that I feel like have more spiritual knowledge than that. I've met pastors that I listen to and go, this guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah. Oh, no, but I've also, and along those lines, I've heard pastors say, the best thing that you can do is bring someone to church because it's not your job to tell people about Jesus. It's only the pastor's job. And so I'm trying to stay away from that side of the argument because that's just silly talk.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that negates the whole body mentality.
It does. Absolutely. completely. But they would say, well, look, it says he gave pastors, aka shepherds, so, and you're not one, so you shouldn't do that. Well, that's...
I mean, there's a section of scripture where the disciples see another person healing in Jesus' name, and it's not one of the 12, and they're like, they come to Jesus so proud, they're like, teacher, we saw someone doing this, but don't worry, we stopped him. Like, they're so proud that they stuck up for Jesus, and Jesus goes, why did you do that? He's helping us. Yeah. Like, you know, it's the attitude of, this world is so just drenched in sin. Like, if it fell only to ordained pastors to save people, there's not enough to go around. Like, there's a reason God put a lot more of us believers on earth. Like, we need to reach the whole world.
And thankfully, the Spirit does that.
Yes.
Through us. So I want to, we're talking kind of, yes, you want to be like, you want to be able to do the CPR. But I also, you know, as we talk about the body, each of us are different parts. You know, last week we talked about, you know, if you're the armpit, be the armpit, or a couple weeks ago, you know, just be it, be the armpit for Jesus. But I think the bigger question really that what this gets is to, what is that part of the body that you are, and how are you equipped for the work of ministry?
Do you think that question, what's the best way to be able to answer that question? Because there's a lot of times that I sit there and go, okay, what am I good at versus how can I help?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for the clarification.
Yes.
Sometimes
those questions are lead you to the answer.
Okay.
They might not be one and the same.
They're not the same.
You know, because you might be really good at mowing your lawn and you might be able to teach other people how to mow your lawn. But
we call it manicuring.
Right, manicure. Oh, whatever.
Cut the grass.
Yeah, I've just lost my train of thought, which is very easy.
No, okay.
It's
so
derailed.
Yeah.
But
sorry.
No,
but does that point people to Jesus?
So he's really good at that versus how can I help others doing that?
Right. You know, you might be good at it. I don't know.
But is there a need?
Yeah. Right. There you go.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because
you might see a need someplace else. Like, oh, well, their shrubs need help. Mm-hmm. You know,
or, you know, you can be great at mowing your yard, but that doesn't help you in winter in Nebraska.
Right.
Yeah. But as we talked about with I think Ed brought that up, especially with the mowing the lawn. Why do you manicure your lawn so well? Because this is not my property. What do you mean? God, you know.
Right.
Jesus.
Yeah. And repeat myself.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm just saying that it's because you manicure your lawn, you're good at that. And because some people might go, how do I get my lawn to be that good? And why do you even bother? And why should I care? Brings on a whole conversation about God's creation and how I manicure my lawn because this is the way that I worship God. And then they'll be like, what?
Yeah.
And then,
well, you take pride in it.
Yeah.
You
but
know, so, I wouldn't say that. Right. I wouldn't say it's because I take pride in it. No. It's because this is God's creation and I want to take care of it.
And I'm not
to
sure
the best of my ability.
And I'm not sure if everyone who manicures their lawn, some do take pride in it and some are doing it because of, and I think that is, but I don't, you go talk to that person who takes pride in it and their answer is going to be completely different than somebody who is doing it for the Lord.
Right. And that's what I was meaning is you answer that. If somebody asks you that question and you answer it, because I want to take care of this for Jesus, that's going to throw them for a loop and it caused them to ask more questions.
Or think you're a crackpot.
Or think, yeah, that's, oh, okay. See you later.
sure, but that crackpot still has a nice thought. But that does bring back because, the thing that just popped in my head. What is one of the things I just read somewhere, I wish I could remember it. About how you judge an individual, not by the statements that they make, but the questions that they ask. And when somebody comes up to you asking those kind of questions of what, why you're at that point, you can go, what are they really looking for? Are they looking just to find out why, what kind of type of grass I'm actually growing here and kind of fertilizer I might use? Or are they actually looking for a bigger, does that make sense?
Yeah, but it still it depends on the person.
Yeah, of course
you
it
know,
does.
But,
yeah. Of course it does.
Well, and so that's why, so it is a combination of what you're good at and where the need is, what the need is. Because like Jesus has given you passions. Jesus has given you abilities to be the body, right? And to fit in those spots. So if you've never used any technology, probably don't sign up to help with the tech booth.
If you have questions and want to learn that,
well, yeah,
sign up for the tech booth.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
if you see the need, because every week, even though you've never done any technology
and had no desire to touch it,
really had no desire, but you see that need and you think, boy, you know what? A lot of people's worship can be
affected by that.
Less distract, you know, we can, I can help people not be distracted from worship because the slides aren't moving fast enough or whatever. Uh-huh. If I can do that, even though that's not a passion of mine, even though I'm not great at it, but I see that need and I see how it can benefit people, let's do it. And maybe that is the person doing CPR until, you know, and, but also maybe doing CPR long enough, you know, you actually figure some of those things out and you enjoy them.
But there's also a hint of the fact that if you see that need and you're like, I really would, you might have this urge to be like, I want to learn that, but I don't really know anything about it. That's where the teaching comes in. Mm-hmm. It's just like, well, come and do this. Yeah. And if we're really teachers,
come and see.
sorry. If we're really teachers, I think what Dave Ramsey always coined that heart of a teacher.
Yeah.
Because there are many times that I've talked to people who have been, I'm gonna put air quotes, hold on, I gotta put my fidgets down. Experts who are horrible teachers.
Yeah.
And you're like, man, look at this expert. And I found people who know a lot of stuff and just have that heart of teaching. And if you find that individuals, you can learn so much from that person. You know, I keep on going back to Ed because he taught me more about business than probably my MBA did.
Right.
You know what I mean? When I went into my MBA, it was like, oh, I'm just spouting out what Ed taught me because he had a heart of a teacher. Yep. Versus, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's just, you know, the body itself, as we're going through this, we also have to remember that we are teachers in that moment as well. Mm-hmm. And so if like I clearly have a thing for tech. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yep.
I understand how it works. And now don't get me wrong. You take this thing apart. I don't know how the transistors all work and the, you know, right. I just know that this, what this does and how to use it, but I don't know how to build it.
Yep.
So there's a completely different, when I say no tech, because mm-hmm. There are programmers out there that are really good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and on the other side of that, you know, they might be excellent programmers, but working customer assistance to help tell you how to fix it when it breaks down would drive them up the wall.
Yeah.
So you need someone that has maybe a baseline understanding, but also has the ability to talk with people and sit through the, you know, that, did you actually hit the power button? Oh, I'm good now. Like, you know, the baseline questions.
And that could be the difference between, say, apostles versus prophets. Prophets speaking the word of God but saying it, and the apostles are like, all right, this is how it works.
Yeah.
You know?
That'd be like, yeah.
You know, but I'm stretching right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think the bigger point I'm trying to make is that regardless of where you are in that spectrum, there is a use and a need for that everywhere, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In other words, when there isn't one person out there going, well, I have no skills, I have no personality, I have nothing, I'm just going to sit here and do nothing. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe there is.
No.
To me, that's a cop-out excuse to not do anything. Because it's like the example we started off at the beginning. You know, there's someone hurt. I'm not medically trained. I should just go. You know, it's like, okay, that's a cheap excuse. And now people in this situation, someone could potentially die.
Well, there's also, you need somebody to call 911 in that situation. You need someone to.
Yeah, but so you're basically saying there's always something for you to do.
Yeah.
Yes.
But so to take this allegory and throw keep on kicking it into the ground is if you're not doing something, then you're essentially doing that. You're doing nothing. If you're going to church and you're seeing these needs and you're seeing that people need help and you have different skills and you're like, yep, not going to help. I mean, you would have to consciously go, I'm ignoring that, or I'm not. My biggest thing that I hear all the time is like, well, I give tithe. I don't need to help. I give money. That's what I do.
Yeah.
Not that we're saying don't give. I'm saying there is everything, right?
Well, that's why, you know, the threefold that every stewardship sermon series is built around is time, talents, and treasures. We always end with treasures, so we think we can trick you and, you know, no. but like, you can give time. And I know there's some of us who are so overcommitted in the world that we can't take on one more thing. Here's my response to that. What are you overcommitted in?
What's your priorities?
And where are your priorities? Just,
yeah. And I think
now some of us, I mean, if you got 17 kids, it's going to be hard to find some time. If you really want to be a good mom or dad to those 17 kids, it might be hard to find time.
Yeah. But that mom of 17 kids will probably be more of a teacher for a new mom.
Yeah.
Than I would be.
I mean, that's 17 opportunities to pass on the gospel.
Yeah. And then, you know, maybe if you need to call your mom, you could call, like, she could be one to
hold on.
There it is.
I think you have to ride that line carefully, though. Mm-hmm. Because, okay, we're looking at a mom with 17 kids. Yeah, that would be really hard to get some extra time or move some extra time someplace else or, you know, to go, okay, where else can I serve? Because my plate is already running over. Uh-huh. But then you may have that single person goes to church every Sunday, but they do the soup kitchen. They're a teammate for little kids. You know, they're doing all these other things. Uh-huh. And then they hear a sermon series on, well, you should do more. Or how are you serving?
I didn't say do more.
Well, no, I said, but you should do. That's how my brain works.
You should do.
And then maybe they're thinking, well, I already do all these things. I can't possibly do one more.
That's because you're only one part of the body.
Oh.
You're your right leg. Well, if you're that person, you're being the right leg and carrying the left leg.
Well, that's really what it comes down to. If the left leg's not doing what they're supposed to be doing and the right leg's got to compensate for that, that's where people get burnout and that's where people get overworked.
Yeah.
And overcommitted, as you just said. Because there are many times that I'll volunteer for all kinds of stuff. But there's been a couple times that I've had to tell Gerber, nope, I can't do that. Yep. I don't have the time. I don't have the energy. And,
yeah.
And then you're like, okay.
Okay.
You know, because it's just like, because it becomes easier for the church. I mean, when I say church, I mean Trinity or whatever other church, to go to the people who volunteer all the time and say, okay, hold on. Maybe we can get Lacey to do this because she always says yes.
Yeah.
And it's easier to do that than to try to find somebody new because to find somebody new means that you have to ask. And asking means that then you kind of feel like, oh man, oh, I don't really want to do this. So really the question is that was this always the issue throughout Christianity? Oh, yeah. And this is not something new.
Yeah.
This is not like, oh, well, the new generation is now lazy.
The darn millennials. No.
I just want to make sure that we're pointing this out, that it's not
bash on young people night.
Or our generation or this age of the church. It's always been an issue that people just kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, COVID gave us an opportunity to step back. Gave some an opportunity to step back, which put more pressure on those who are doing the stuff. But those just ebb and flow. We asked for survey responses to our volunteer survey, and I think we got 80 responses.
Just because you forced everybody during service.
Deal with it.
I don't care. I sat there and went, this is working. I see people trying to get their phone to get that stupid thing on the screen.
Yeah.
Which was funny because half the phones didn't do it. They're all like, why won't it work? It was so funny. And he as a tech guy was like, hi.
Well, I'm just sitting there looking at the list going, what else can I add?
Mm-hmm. This is the problem. There's certain people that are like, I want to add certain things.
I'd like to add, or I'm like you. I'm like, ooh, you know what? I'm interested in the tech booth. I don't know much about it, but man, it'd be really nice if something crashes down and I could help out, you know, or.
Well, and also too, is like, I can run the tech booth, but I'm doing worship.
But you can't do that while you're.
I can't do both.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why I have Ray and Cooper and whatever. They're up there. They're doing their stuff. I leave them alone.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, let them do their job. I'll do my thing.
Yep.
And because there are times I'll be like, oh, I want to go up there and mix this differently or whatever. And I'm like, no, you know what? I am doing this. This is what I'm doing. Let me focus on this. Let them do their job and trust that they got it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with DCE. I was hanging out with the kids in between and you came in, you're like, okay, I'll do this. And I'm like, good.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Have fun. Because I was literally, that was a good example of SCPR. I was literally just kind of going, okay, hopefully this stays alive.
Well, and it's amazing how, like, in that if you hadn't been there, it would have been a lot harder for me to tie that group together. Like, it made my job coming in a lot easier.
Those kids are already together.
Yeah.
I just gave them an excuse to come.
Yeah.
Right.
But one of the things we learned during the time of the hard line shutdowns at the beginning of the COOF was that a couple weeks off, habits break. And and so it kept the forever, I don't know the amount of time it was, but for whatever amount of time that was, it kept them in the habit of meeting together regularly. That alone for high schoolers with what their time schedules and work schedules, like that alone.
Yeah. And the other, but to that point, and I'm going to say this, I know as a Lutheran, this will go down the spines of individuals, but because of the COOF, we had to come up with different ways of doing things.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I suddenly became, I am not an expert at all, but I had to learn how to do video editing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ditto. Whew.
Yeah, we had to do that. Now, I guarantee you there's people out there that do that for a living or just know how to use that stuff way better than we do.
Yeah.
And they cringed at watching.
Oh, they probably like, oh my God, that edit was horrible. Well, yeah, I guarantee it was.
But then that's when you say, hey, you know what? I'm really good at video editing. Let me help you out, or let me teach you or show you. Or
it's not just that, but to sit there and think, not like, what gifts do I have and what are the needs of the church or whatever, and go, well, they're not currently doing that. Okay. Well, how can we take that gift that you have and actually do something with? And I think it's more of, well, we've always done it this way.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. If you have a gift to make widgets, and currently widgets are not a thing that the church is currently using, then maybe that widget that you're really good at doing, I'm stretching here. The point is that you can take your gift and say, well, I want to take that. I want to move that forward.
Well, let's use that example very specifically, not widgets, but like, Chris Davis, who was on here a few months ago, has skills in audio engineering. She works at a radio station. Trinity had nothing to do with radio, nothing. And then this happened. And then this opportunity came. Well, you're recording your broadcasts, or you're airing your broadcasts on Facebook, but how are you going to reach those people who don't get on Facebook, don't get on a computer, but listen to the radio every week? Hey, how about this? And now Chris is every other week is there Saturday night, working the sound booth, and then every week, whether she's there or not, she takes the audio from that service, she prepares it, she gets it ready, she schedules it, she puts an intro in, puts an outro in, and fills in with other music if it wasn't an hour long, cuts out silence if it was, if the service was more than an hour long. And every week she is serving who knows how many people who get to hear God's word. And, the week before she started doing that, it wasn't even a consideration that we would do that.
Well, even this podcast, we had no idea what we're doing. We still don't.
No.
And arguably still doing it bad. But the fact is that we just said, you know what? We want to try.
Yeah.
And we'll learn as we go.
And if you don't like it, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, what we've said all along for us, for this is good for us.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, but to keep it within the scope of this conversation, the skills that you currently have and the hobbies or the interest or whatever, because I can even go back to, it's like, oh, I'm a huge sci-fi nerd. The only thing I do is talk about sci-fi nerd stuff. Mm-hmm. Not that I do that. To be able to translate that sci-fi nerd stuff into stories through
the unknown God.
But to be able to maybe connect with youth or other individuals that are in that.
Mm-hmm. That's what...
That is not something that you would normally find in a service.
Yeah, that's what Jesus did. And that's what the other Paul did. The other Paul, the real Paul.
Please stand up.
I'm the fake Paul.
yep. But that's what... I mean, he catered to the people there because he had a common understanding with, he talked about you've got this unknown God. Well, let's talk about this unknown God, and took something that they both understood the culture of and were able to talk about Jesus in that.
Now I'm gonna get a little metaphysical, and I'm just analyzing myself because I do analyze how I'm helping, and I understand that I do worship team, but I don't actually consider myself a worship leader in that sense, in the traditional, like looking them up there singing songs, because to be honest with you, I don't do the worship leading kind of thing. I don't get up there and say stuff. I just sing songs. But what I do feel like I do is encourage people to come up and sing. There's many times that I have different singers that are be like, oh, I would never have done this. Mm-hmm. And then one thing is that I feel like that is mainly what I feel like my job is to get people to get past their fears and go, okay, we can do this. Mm-hmm. In a supportive educational kind of encouragement. And yes, I get up there and dance and sing and do goofy things because that part I actually enjoy. But what I feel like my job is that. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And so you might look at your gifts and go, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do that. But don't just look at the tertiary thing. Look at the different things that can happen because of that, the connections that could be happening because of your ability to do other things and your personality and who you are and all this other stuff. You can affect things way more. We talked about God-sized goals. The way that your lives can connect everybody else, you have no idea how God can use that. And to limit yourself, I kind of feel like it's underserving God a little bit by just going, nope, I'm not going to do that because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
You know?
And no, so. Absolutely. to you limit yourself in that, but you also, and just, it might be affecting respecting others and their faith, mm-hmm. or potential. Like, yes, God doesn't need us to work, but he's chosen to use us yeah. to do his work.
The perfect example that I use is teachers. Teachers teach. Go figure. But it's not that they teach ABCs. The stuff that they teach about confidence and they teach these different things, those teachers will never know how that affected those kids. They'll grow up and be like, I had a teacher when I was in high school that completely pushed me to do... I mean, Mike Rowe uses the example of his music teacher who he was a kid with a stutter, and the music teacher was like, fantastic. And then he just threw him in and said, go. And that affected his life so much that he turned into Mike Rowe, which, right. you know.
He does not stutter.
He does not stutter now. To a person that, I mean, I would love to speak like Mike Rowe. I can't, I'm never going to.
You see the confidence in him.
Oh, yeah. But because of that teacher in yep. high school, those are the kind of things I'm talking about, even within church. Coming in and pouring coffee every morning, just using an example, mm-hmm. but being there every morning and being like enthusiastically going, I'm going to pour this coffee. You have no idea how that's affecting people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and so, because if just that, what might seem like a small role of starting the coffee maker, like if someone doesn't do that, usually from what I've encountered, people on staff, we are service minded people. So if we see a need, even if it's at the sacrifice of something we really actually need to be doing, we try and fit it in. So,
are you talking to me, Casey?
I'm talking about myself.
Yeah. He's on staff full time soon-ish
yeah.
now.
Yeah, ish, somewhere.
Now-ish soon.
I don't know 100% of how things set up in the morning, but yeah, it takes a little bit for coffee to get going. And so yeah. if pastor has to do it, that's less time to get ready for the service, less time to yep. talk to people. Like, even though starting a coffee maker potentially doesn't involve you talking to a single person, it allowed someone else who might enjoy or have the spiritual gifts of talking and connecting with someone yep. to do that. So in a roundabout chain link version, you helped someone connect to the gospel because someone else didn't take on that role when they had other roles already.
Yeah. Yeah.
It all trickles down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and
goes up.
The reason why I'm fascinated with this topic is because I wonder what psychologically people, why they have a roadblock. Is it because they're too busy? Is it because they just are lazy? Or is it because of fear? What is the reasoning for not going, I'm going to do something?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that is the kind of question. And I don't want to sit there and go, well, analyze yourself and therefore change who yeah. you are. I'm saying there is something blocking you from taking that leap. And what do we need to do to get past that?
Yeah.
I think for each person it's different too, because
of course it
just
is.
Just as temptation and what Satan pulls at us to sin is different for each person. Mm-hmm. I think the temptation he pulls to keep us from serving looks different. For some, it can be fear. For some, it can be whether it's actual choices that led to overstretching or the lie that you're overstretched. That, you know, whichever it is, Satan loves to play on that, because the less people are serving, the less people hear about the gospel. Or Satan also knows that the fact that the service-minded people already jumping in are going to overtax themselves and burn themselves out, which leads to less people hearing the gospel. Satan will use whatever he can to stop this.
Yeah, but even that overtaxing, there is a point, because I've seen this happen too, that people are like, you know what? I just don't believe in God anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And each person, that's a notch in Satan's belt for that. It's like, God, another one not to go to heaven.
Yeah.
Like,
you know, it's just, so it's not just that people help out and suddenly they're like, oh, I'm good. Cause we,
right.
Our works don't mean that.
No.
And I think it's just, but yeah, you get tired, man. Mm-hmm. You get tired. Yeah. Yeah. And and I will say, I mean, there is a time and place to be able to say, no, I can't.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So please. Yeah. Like you said, kind of, we're talking about Lacey, you know, don't hear this discussion in, oh, I need to do more necessarily. This discussion is how has Jesus gifted and enabled you? And where do you see needs? And if you don't see needs, you're not looking, because they're there. And it doesn't, this also doesn't mean, okay, this is where I have to serve at Trinity Lutheran Church.
Like, for all time.
I'm just saying, like,
for all time. No,
what I mean is like, oh, I have these passions and I, you know, I can go serve my neighbor by mowing their lawn because they're elderly or they fell off a bench and they need help mowing their lawn.
Very general example there.
Just because I didn't do it at Trinity Lutheran Church, oh, I guess I'm not serving God's... No, you're serving God's people.
Yeah.
And so, like, when we put the survey together, we didn't put mow my neighbor's lawn, because just go do that. You don't need me to call you up and say, hey, this is Pastor Gerber. Just wanted to check and see if you've had an opportunity to walk next door and mow your neighbor's lawn yet.
You would never say, hey, this is Pastor... You'd be like, hey there.
Hey there.
That would be the actual accurate phone call.
Mowed Al's yard
I actually, I often, like, I mimic how someone answers the phone. So if they say hello, I say hello. If they say hey, I say hey. And that's not just on the phone. That is, like, I'm a parrot. If you say, what up, dog? I mean, you're going to get a what up, dog back most likely.
Totally what are you, gonna what do you, that
what are you Anchorman?
No. But that's just what flows back out of me. So even if like a husband and wife come up to me as they're walking in on a Sunday morning and one says hello and the other one says top of the morning to you or whatever, I will say hello, top of the morning to you.
You'd be like, hello, morning.
Yeah.
Hello, top of the morning, hello.
Why do I feel like a game's going to come out of this? Like, this could just be whatever. Fantastic.
Hey there.
Sorry.
Hey there.
Let's play a hey there game.
But like, we didn't put those things on there because just go serve your neighbor. Like, you don't need the church, the institution to connect you with mowing your neighbor's lawn. Mm-hmm. If you see the need and you have the ability to fill the need, go fill the need. Yeah. But we're trying to say, okay, how in this place can we free up some staff to do the things that only they can do, right? Only I'm going to get up right now. Only I'm getting up to preach the gospel on a Sunday morning. That's what pastors are called and trained to do. So when you make the coffee, that means I don't have to make the coffee and I can put more time and focus on that. And so that's why, you know, a lot of this is, well, what are things that we can do to help the ministry move forward, to help grow the body of Christ?
Yeah.
And some might be in a more roundabout way. You mow the lawn. I mean, we've got grounds maintenance. If you want to mow the lawn, you can help do that. You can mow the lawn and do it in a way that gives glory and honor to the Lord.
And just to clarify, I think you already clarified this, just because you mow the lawn for the church doesn't mean not mowing the lawn for the church and mowing it for your neighbor. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if right,
you're still serving.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm take just trying to say neighbor. That it's just like, well, I'm mowing from my neighbor because she's elderly. Okay, fantastic, awesome.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to do it for the church. That's okay.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yes. Where are the needs?
I think the problem is, and I think Lacey hinted at it, is like the survey kind of makes it feel like, well, you just want me to help you at the church.
It does, but that's because that's
that the church has that's
what
need.
We well, and that's where I can connect you. Well, I cannot connect you to your neighbor. Walk across the street and talk to your neighbor.
And I think one of the coolest things is there was, you know, we had a list of things, but we also had things you could write in, because there could be an opportunity where tons of people have a certain gift that we have never supposed of in this church, that we have this wing of people that could be good at insert talent here, and now we might actually have a ministry that we never considered.
Yeah, and that's what my point was earlier. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there you go.
I would hate to say anything, but it is 9.
I know. So Lacey's gonna close in prayer and prepare us for school tomorrow.
Yeah. Sure.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. You guys always like it when I wing it, so there we go.
Yeah.
Boom.
Okay.
Jesus likes you when you wing it, but go ahead, sorry.
Dear Jesus, I'm winging this. We'll just preface this. Thank you for bringing us together today, and we can go and talk about how we can serve you, how we can better serve our community, and how we can better serve each other. Also, please be with everyone tomorrow as they go back to school, and hopefully it's going to be a safe and fun day. You never know what can be expected on the first day of school. And also just be with everybody else and their children that came home from school today. And I hope that everybody's enjoying conversations around the dinner table on what their day was like. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Any last minute parting announcements before I close this out?
Fall kickoff is this Sunday after the late service. So roughly noon if you attend some of our
have you met me? 11:30. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
I put a 6-minute song in there. I'm sorry. This is fall kickoff for the school.
For the
community.
For the community and some of our church ministries.
But it's not football.
No.
Okay.
No, it is not.
When you said fall kickoff, I was like, cool. It's already football season. It's only August.
NFL preseason's going, man.
And Being Challenged, which will be the post-Ephesians sermon series, there are books available for that, and those will be at fall kickoff. I just picked them up yesterday.
Yesterday.
I got 200 books.
Whoa.
45 of them are kids books and 155 are adult books.
Are they signed?
They are not signed. I'll sign them if you want me to.
Okay.
No.
That doesn't help. I think you should put a little words of encouragement in each one of those because you have nothing else to do.
This is true. You would like to serve by writing words of encouragement into books.
That is accurate because I'm talking
really
to me.
There really might be some people that would do that.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I know. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guarantee it.
Uh-huh.
Imagine having Mike Rowe do that. That would be amazing.
There you go.
Because he can write.
Let's call him up.
You don't know who Mike Rowe is?
No, I have no idea.
Dirty Jobs.
Oh, you have no... Yeah. But,
okay.
Is he the voice of the guy behind Dirty Jobs?
He is Dirty Jobs. Never mind.
I have no idea who that is. It's not, sorry.
And that's just one aspect of him.
I watch TV. Yeah.
So anyways.
It's friends.
So yeah. Kickoff Sunday.
See. Yes. There'll be inflatables. There'll be free food.
And music.
Yes.
Well, not live, but it will be music through some sort of speaker. Because yes. I have those for you and you should take those with you today.
And in the service, in all of our services this weekend, an opportunity for a special blessing and then a backpack tag that comes along with it for all those who come, for students and educators as they get ready to...
Backpack tag.
Backpack tag or / briefcase tag if you're an educator and you want to carry it, put it on your briefcase.
If you would also like a snazzy Trinity Fremont pullover, you can find me on Sunday and I can...
A gray one?
A gray one or navy blue.
Maybe I want a black one. Oh, I can't do that
you
one
can't.
Anymore.
Stop.
Black That's is enough. Sad
I was
color.
Told last night, get over it. That's what I was told.
I did tell you to get over it.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
On that note, peace out, y'all.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week. We pray that the Holy Spirit has used this time to focus you in on the one thing that you can practice this week as you live out your faith in your family and in your community. If you found this helpful, feel free to share it with a friend. If you would like to support the work that God is doing through Trinity Fremont, you can text a donation to 1-844-353-5782 or you can give online at www.trinityfremont.com/donate. We'll be right back.